Hi, Royals fans. This is JJ Piccolo. If you suffer a sprain, strain, or fracture, the University of Kansas Health System offers orthopedic walk-in care at 435 and Nall in Overland Park. Learn more at kansashealthsystem.com/orthopedics.
Welcome back to the Border Patrol on Sports Radio 810 WHB. Basketball, baby. Basketball is our favorite season. And KC Live and the Power Light District is Hoop Central all month long. Kicking off with the tournament this week, Hoop Central presented by Sports Radio 810 WHB captures the spirit of college hoops in a safe, socially distanced outdoor area with tables, family-friendly banter, and contactless ordering. Join us at KC Live as we MC the pregame, drinking ice-cold Coors Light while watching college hoops with us on the KC Live big screen. McFadden's is offering a special brunch on Thursday and Saturday to fuel you up for game day. Carry out and dine-in are available from all restaurants during the tournament. For details or to reserve your table, visit powerandlightdistrict.com/basketball. powerandlightdistrict.com/basketball. And speaking of basketball, we have C.J. Moore, who covers college hoops for The Athletic. What's up, C.J.? How are you?
Doing well. What's going on, guys?
Hey, let's boy, there's a lot going on, so let's get to it. I want to talk to you first before we get into the Big 12 and SEC. Let's start with Wichita State. They defeated South Florida 80-63 on Saturday to win the American Athletic Conference Championship. First time they've won that conference, and now they'll be the number one seed in the conference tournament. Look, they were picked to finish seventh under then interim coach Isaac Brown to start the season. They win the league. But I see some people still feel like they have work to do to get into the NCAA tournament. Just tell me what you think of Isaac Brown and this addition of Wichita State, and if they still have work to do to get in the NCAA tournament.
Well, he's done a terrific job, first of all. I mean, to take over the situation he took over and, got the job really, really late. Season's about to start. Like you said, they're picked seventh. It was a fire, right? Like, there was a fire, and he put it out, and he got those kids to really, really fight for him. And if you watch them play, there's, like, a joy that they play with that I don't think was there last year, which is, kind of obvious when you see how many guys left the program. So, he had a big part in putting that roster together, and it's quite the story. They've now reeled off seven in a row, and they're playing really, really good basketball. The reason they got work to do is because the AAC, wasn't very good this year. You got Houston, who's awesome, and they do have a win over Houston, which is really, really big. But they didn't do much in the non-conferences because there wasn't much of a non-conference. They played good teams, Missouri and Oklahoma State, but they lost to both of them. So I understand why they have work to do. I think as long as they probably get to that conference title game, even if they get there and lose to Houston, I think they probably got a pretty good shot of getting in, but I am definitely not our bracketology guy, and it makes my head hurt to look at that stuff all year. So I'm not the best guy to answer that question, but I do think that if they get to the conference title game, I think they'll be in a pretty good spot.
So I want to talk a little bit more just about Isaac Brown, because there was a perception the last few years on this around here that I was anti-Wichita State because I was not a big fan of Greg Marshall. I had heard too many things from too many people who had worked around him and been around him, and really good people that have been treated like crap by him, and I just felt like I will say this. I firmly believe you can achieve at a very high level as a coach without treating the people around you like garbage.
Absolutely.
I firmly believe that. And they say a lot of times when one coach replaces another, usually there's a shift in the opposite direction. If you had like a player's coach, the next time you have more of a disciplinarian, blah, blah, blah. Well, if they had a guy that treated people really poorly as their head coach before this, I haven't heard from too many people, but the people I have heard from say that Isaac Brown's the opposite. He treats everybody really well. What do you know about him? How good of a guy is he? Because I feel like I'm about really ready to really root for Wichita State a lot more.
There we go.
Yeah, I've been around him. I've spent quite a bit of time around that program. You were going to find plenty of people that if you got him in a safe place where you could promise them that you weren't going to say anything. Like, not a lot of people were going to say, there were people that didn't like Greg Marshall, right? I haven't found anybody that has a bad thing to say about Isaac Brown. Always been really, really nice in the conversations I've had with him. I think that, and if you go, like, when all this stuff, you know, when we broke the story on Greg Marshall and all this stuff was coming out, did you see Ron Baker? Did you see Fred VanVleet? Did you see Landry Fammett, these big-time dudes that played for Greg Marshall? Did you see any of them coming to his defense?
No.
When it was looking like Isaac Brown has a shot for the job, did you see those guys come out and support him? Yes.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's pretty telling right there.
Well, good. I'm a Wichita State fan. I'm rooting for Isaac Brown, man. I hope it goes.
You know what would be the best Bill Self move? You know, there was always all this talk of, we're not going to
now play him.
Yes.
Play him now.
Yes.
Play
him now. I love that.
I'm going to tell you what. This is wild. To hear Nate Bucchetti say positive things about Wichita State is an absolute shocker.
I get it.
I've been setting that one
good.
Up for 15
Rudy,
minutes.
Rudy's Thank having a conversation much. With somebody over there. He wasn't paying attention.
Who is distracting Rudy during the show? Who's distracting you?
The Drake's talking to him, probably about something important. Hi, Drake.
Drake, is it because Drake lost to Loyola in the conference finals?
I'm not happy about that. That was a 10-point loss I'm not happy with. We beat him earlier in the year.
Is that why you're trying to distract us from talking about college basketball? I see through everything. What about Drake? Since we got Jason Justice in there, how's Drake doing right now? Are they safely in? Just say something bad about him.
I'd like to see him get in. Yeah, they got a couple of their best dudes have been out, so they got a little bit of excuse. Plus, Loyola's really, really good. Like, I don't know if you guys pay attention to KenPom. They're number 9 at KenPom.
Yeah, wow, number 9.
All right.
So,
go Loyola.
Yeah, I am when I check out the rankings of that, I'm trying to see if Rudy has the drop here. He's checking on it real quick because CJ just described Drake as a wounded animal, so I thought I'd see if we could get Bruce Weber's thoughts on that. But
gotta bring Bruce Weber.
Well, because he has a famous quote on wounded animals, but Rudy's struggling to find it, so we'll just have to move on from that.
Hey, how about before we leave the other schools altogether? How about that buzzer beater that broke Memphis's heart? I know Memphis is desperate for wins, trying to get him into the tournament. Yeah. Oh man, and Houston, that was between that and the Washburn buzzer beater over Northwest Missouri State. Yeah, those were two wild finishes.
So
we'll see. I mean, Houston's a hell of a basketball team, and that was fun watching that. Okay, let's move on now to the Big 12. We have the tournament bracket ready, and I know Nate tweeted this out, and it made me laugh out loud. Not laugh, but yeah, I kind of did. I'm sorry, Todd Lebo, to admit that, but Nate pointed out that a couple of weeks ago, Oklahoma was number 7 in the nation. Now they are number 7 in the Big 12 tournament, and so that is.
league's pretty good.
That's a precipitous fall in 2 weeks, man.
nobody saw that happening, but you would think they're going to beat Iowa State in that first game, and then you have a rematch between Kansas State and TCU, and K-State wins. That would be 4 of 5 that have been wins over the past couple of weeks. But maybe just overall, when you take a look at how this bracket shapes up and some of the possible matchups we're going to see, give us a little preview of the Big 12 tournament, maybe the things you're most excited to watch.
Well, I think that, I mean, once you get past the first day, I think it's going to be terrific, right? Like, because there's only, you know, there's 7 awesome teams in the league. Obviously, the bottom 3 aren't very good, but, K-State gets an opportunity to maybe win another game. But those top 7 teams are really, really good, and all the games involving those teams when they play each other are going to be great. Like, possible West Virginia-Kansas semifinal could be really, really good. Baylor against, Baylor probably get either Texas or Oklahoma State, I think, is going to be on that side of the bracket. So
Oklahoma State or West Virginia, they rematch as the 4-5 seed, which surprise
Texas
you?
Yeah. 3, my bad. Kansas would play Texas, yeah. Those semifinals could be really, really good. And the quarter, Thursday is going to be pretty fun because you're going to get at least a couple really good games on Thursday, too.
Yeah, it looks like you're guaranteed at least 3 really good games, but that 4-5, we already know what's going to happen. West Virginia against Oklahoma State. How much did it surprise you that Oklahoma State went to West Virginia and won without Cade Cunningham.
Yeah, that was definitely surprising because I don't think anybody saw that coming. They were really competitive against Baylor earlier this year without him too. So, didn't see that coming. Because West Virginia has been arguably one of the hottest teams in the league. I mean, they've been playing really, really good ball lately and have been pretty awesome. So, didn't see that one.
When you're a wounded animal, how do you come? You come angry?
There you go.
There we go.
Yeah. Aren't you glad they were able to find that way? You're still on the air, CJ. I know you had your fingers crossed.
You're welcome for saying that stupid phrase.
I can hear the regret in CJ's voice, like, oh, why did I have to use that term? I could have used any other term. But we appreciate it. So we were talking about this. What kind of a decision does Cade Cunningham have to make when he's dealing with this type of an injury, an ankle injury? You know, I can't fault any guy that would be in his situation saying, man, I'm going to play it cautious. If I'm not 100% at all, I'm not playing because I'm not going to risk anything. What do you think that decision process is going to be like for him?
I think it comes down to whether or not there could be long-term damage there. Like if you know, he's not maybe 100%, but playing on it's not going to like be detrimental to his future, I think it's fine because he's already locked up. You know, if he's not the number one pick, like he's a top two. Like he's probably the number one pick, but, you know, maybe a team that has a point guard or something, you know, doesn't want to, you know, he's going to be a really, really, really high pick no matter what happens. So as long as there's like not long-term damage he can do by playing on it, I think he really cares and is going to want to play.
What other team that I'm looking forward to watching in this tournament is Texas, and we've talked about if they play right, they have the talent to be. They should have been the second best team in the league if you look just at talent. But is when you look at the Big 12 teams that'll be not only playing in this tournament but in the next tournament. Is there a team that stands out to you that's best built for tournament success that you think? I know a lot of it's going to depend on matchups and the draws, but just maybe going into these two tournaments, a team that you have a gut feeling about?
Well, in terms of Texas, like I'm honestly disappointed in what they've done the last month and a half of the season. Like,
right.
I think that's a top five roster in college basketball. You look at their backcourt, which is experience, which is what you want. You look at the front court, you know, Jericho Sims is one of the best defenders. You've seen, like, what he can do against David McCormick. Kai Jones is a first-round type pick guy. Greg Bound, really, really talented, you know, fringe, maybe lottery pick guy. But, like, he doesn't always play smart basketball. You know, they don't always play smart basketball down the stretch of games. I've been disappointed in them and just that I expected a little bit more. So, you know, now it's reset. Here's your time to prove it when everybody cares. So, like, Texas should be a team that could go, you know, that I think can go really deep in the NCAA tournament. I'll probably pick them to go too far because I do believe in the talent. But, they've just kind of disappointed me over this last month or so. Not that I care, you know, if they do well or not, but it's just that, like, you look at that roster and you're like, geez. Like, and when they're right, like, they can be really, really good.
What does that say about Shaka Smart that in the best year he's had at Texas, it's still somehow disappointing?
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I think that he's got some real pluses as a coach, but I think maybe one of his negatives is like the things that I'm talking about in terms of like you had the incident at West Virginia where Courtney Ramey just totally calls out Andrew Jones for just a crap defensive effort on a possession. And, like, you know, that was something that was probably bubbling. And they're up by, like, 15 at this point or something like that. And, you know, the fact that, like, a player's kind of, like, Courtney Ramey felt the need to have to go off on this guy, and it's not Shaka doing that. I think that, like, maybe in terms of holding your guys accountable for, like, stuff like that, like, stuff that Bill Self would maybe just, like, you know, that's not happening. There's a little bit too much of that's able to happen. That's probably his maybe biggest weakness. I do think, you know, there's some good things he's really done with this team, but the fact that they're like 30th in defensive efficiency, I couldn't get that out, And with that roster and that length and talent, like, it's kind of disappointing. And he's usually a really good defensive coach. So, I just think, you know, this will be a month that's important for him and his long-term future. I think he's, you know, at least saved himself going into next year. But, you know, kind of prove it this month.
All right, CJ, I'm going to read the last sentence. I'm going to read this to Nate. I was going through your picks before the games on Saturday, and here's the final sentence of the LSU at Missouri capsule. I'm not sure I've been on the right side of a Mizzou game all season, so proceed with caution. The pick, Missouri. Well, CJ, you know, I was – hey, let me tell you. After they won at Florida, the hook was right back in my mouth, and I'm ready.
Yeah.
Like, okay, they got this thing figured out now.
They're
going to beat LSU because LSU can't play defense. Offense is going to roll. They'll be clicking. And then back-to-back wins against tournament teams, and I am good to go as the 5 seed in the SEC tournament, except the fact that LSU beat Missouri, and now they're the 7 seed playing Georgia again, which was one of the worst games I saw this year. But what happened to Missouri against LSU?
I mean, I think it came down to down the stretch of that game. One team had Cam Thomas, and the other team didn't. And I was talking to a scout about him a few weeks ago, and I was like, man, that guy is so talented. And he's like, yeah. He's like, I like him. He's like, but he just takes such hard shots. I was like, yeah, but he really makes a lot of those.
Yeah.
And that was the case against Missouri. I mean, he was making some hard shots. And
he got stupid for a while. It was like, what are you going to do? Like, what do you do now?
Yeah, I mean, it's not like you can't necessarily blame the defense. I do think that you know, there were some guys, they were able to expose Mitchell Smith a little bit and kind of go at him with Trendon Wofford. And, you know, they just had guys that could finish plays down the stretch, and Missouri wasn't able to finish an important play. Like, you know, X Pinson gets to a great crossover. He's right there in the middle lane, has like a easy shot, and he, like, I don't know what happened to it, like if he lost handle the ball or what, but, like, you know, turns into like a really hard looking shot when it should have been a little bit easier one. So, you know, I don't think their execution down the stretch was necessarily terrible. It's just they couldn't get stops. And, you know, you're an experienced team that's, you know, all about toughness and your defense. And, but at the same time, like, LSU's got some pros that just jumped up and made some tough ones on you.
You know, I'll say this, as we enter tournament play, there's a certain freedom to it with being a Mizzou fan, because really, it's even like in this tournament, doesn't matter who they play, anything could happen. Like, sometimes you'll go in as a 7 seed, like, they got no shot against the top 2 or 3 seeds. They beat the best teams. They've lost to the worst teams. So, and they could, if you told me, oh, they're going to lose to Georgia, like, well, there you go. I've seen that. If you told me they go on a run here, and you can call me stupid. I know Nate wants to, but I have a good feeling that they're going to go on a run and they're going to beat Georgia and beat Arkansas in the SEC tournament, which spells disaster for other Mizzou fans because I feel that way. But they, I mean, really, any outcome is possible with them right now, right?
Yeah, absolutely. It's why I can't get one of their games right.
Me neither. Oh well. Georgia is first up, and then but Arkansas, and look, they beat Arkansas, then they lost to Arkansas recently when they didn't have Tillman, and they took that game to overtime. But Arkansas is really, really playing well, and I was a fan of Eric Musselman when he was in Nevada. And maybe if you're looking for a team to pick in your bracket when we get to the NCAA tournament, what have you thought about this turnaround that's seen Arkansas rise to the number 2 seed in the SEC and a top 10 team?
Yeah, he's done a really good job there. You know, Justin Smith, their kid they got from Indiana, he missed some games like in the middle of the season. And if you look at their record with him in the lineup, they've only lost 2 games. So he's, you know, and one of those was his first game back when he only played 18 minutes. So other than that, the only game they've lost is at Oklahoma State, and it was, you know, 4-point loss. Like, no shame in that. So, Moss has done a good job. He's gotten dudes, you know, he's gotten players, and they play fast, play hard, you know, take a lot of threes. It's you know, he usually plays a kind of fun style, and They've done a good job. Now, I'll say this. I'm not sure. I'm not convinced the SEC is great. Like, I don't know if I'll ride any team very far in the bracket. But, you know, Bama and Arkansas are teams that are dangerous. And, you know, LSU's dangerous because, like I said, they got a couple pros. And Tennessee's probably right there with Texas is one of the teams that I've been, like, most disappointed in, just in terms of how they've turned out and what the roster is.
Remember when you're filling out your bracket in the SEC, it just means more. And so then you have to factor that in.
Yeah, I forgot about that. Yes.
That's a different sport.
Champions out west, though, that doesn't usually turn out.
Right. That's right. So now that the regular season is over, in your opinion, who was the best player in college basketball for the regular season?
I mean, I think you got to go Luka Garza. He was pretty damn consistent with his numbers and he's a beast. So I think, you know, I'm good going Garza.
They retired his jersey like at his senior day, right?
That was crazy.
Yeah, that's pretty neat. That's when you know you're pretty good.
Yeah.
I mean, that's a team that's going to be a sexy pick in the Final Four with the way he plays and how good they've been. Who would you give the nod to regular season coach of the year?
That's a tough one. Like, it's probably Juwan Howard, but, you know, they did lose a couple here down the stretch. You know, I think Scott Drew's a guy you would have to consider. What Baylor's been able to do, you know, one of those couple, Porter Moser at Loyola Chicago's, I think would be in the mix. You know, you could even say Isaac Brown at Wichita State would be a guy you'd have to consider. So I don't think you can go wrong picking like any of those guys.
Nate, any thoughts on that?
Mark Few's got by far the best team.
He does. Mark Few should be in consideration too since they go undefeated, but. And it's, you know, not like they didn't play anybody. Like they beat some dang good teams in the non-conference, you know, smoked Iowa, smoked Virginia, you know, smoked Kansas. He at least goes out and plays people in the non-conference, but then you just kind of get a fall asleep for about a month.
You don't get considered for coach of the year if your team's too good.
Yeah.
You know, so it's kind of crazy how that works.
All right, CJ, thank you for the time. One final question before we let you go. How long should the Royals wait before they call up Bobby Witt Jr.?
I
ask everyone that.
Maybe 2 minutes. I would go on if you have a minute, I would go on a Jeff Long rant.
Oh, yes, okay. Please. Yes,
well, here we are. Rudy, clear the rest of the schedule. Commercials will be heard later. Let's have it.
I just wanted to share this. So I'm doing a story on Roy Williams. And when he was hired at Kansas, because he just passed 900 wins. He's about to pass Bobby Knight on all-time win list. And I'm talking to people who, you know, were part of that process, and that was 33 years ago. And you guys aren't going to believe this, but they're, like, remembering all the coaches who were interviewed and considered for the job. And it's not like that guy who coached for the Rams, I think, I talked to. So, you know, that kind of gets me fired up with, like, this whole Les Miles stuff, like, that was the dude he was always going to hire, and he didn't – if he would have talked to their athletic director, don't you think the athletic director would have said, yeah, you probably shouldn't do this? So I could kind of piggyback – I was listening to Nate earlier, piggybacking on his rant. Like, you know, back when Roy was getting hired, people that were consulted that cared and loved about the university, and I don't know that those things have happened in recent years. And you know, they ended up listening to him and took a chance on a assistant at North Carolina because Dick Harp and Dean Smith gave their endorsement. And, like, you know, Dean Smith came to Kansas and talked to Bob Frederick. And then they actually sat down with Roy and, you know, he had an interview.
God, that's a good point. See, because when that happens, like, Rudy over here is too young to remember this. KU was going on probation. Mm-hmm. When they hired Roy Williams, and when they hired Roy, everybody in the KU fan base was like, "Who?" And I remember I went to Roy Williams' first basketball camp at KU, and it was like right when he had taken the job, mm-hmm. and it was like I got to shake hands with Michael Jordan. I was in eighth grade, and he got Michael Jordan to come to Kansas to do a little, like, he did like an hour-long clinic for all the kids, and basically that was like how Roy Williams got people to sign up for the camp, because like nobody
knew who he was.
Yeah, like nobody was excited to go to the Roy Williams basketball camp at that time, but the university didn't do it to like, oh, let's see what's the biggest splash we can make. We're Kansas. We got to hire a big name. They actually talked to people that loved the university and cared about it, and went about it that way instead of what will make the biggest splash. Absolutely.
So I just wanted to get that. I've been talking to people the last few weeks, you know, and gotten a little fired up. So, yeah.
You know, it took me about 45 minutes to get Nate to calm down after you got all wound up.
You're welcome.
So. So this is...
Thanks, CJ.
This is going to power us through 10 o'clock, I just want you to know. So
you're
thank
welcome.
You. It's like that was better than a nice hot cup of black coffee for him. Now he's fired up and good to go. Anything else you want to add to that, CJ, while Nate's got his ears open?
That's all I got. I could go on and on, but you guys got to get to a commercial.
I mean, if you got anything else you think's a good nugget you can share,
call us whenever
please
you want,
do
man.
Right now. This is your stage. We're just watching.
I'll keep digging.
Okay, you dig and you let us know what you find. CJ, thanks for the time, man. Can't wait to talk to you during the tournament. It's going to be awesome.
Take care. Bye-bye.